you'll be turning to the 73rd Psalm. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to have some visiting with us. We want you to know we consider you to be honored guests. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find something that I've taught that is wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll draw it to my attention, I'll make the proper correction. Always good to have the Purdoms with us and Sister Thorpe. And we appreciate the Hicks family being with us tonight. In the 73rd Psalm, if you will, look with me verses 16 and 17. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. This is indeed what one might call a moving psalm to the heart of men. And as we've been making a study of this psalm, we go back and we remember that this man identified as Asaph in verse 1 said that God is good to Israel. He did not deny the goodness of God. He did not rob God of His glory. And this man identified the fact that God is good. But then if you take your Bible in our second study, we took note of a man who was struggling. In verse 2, this man said, "My feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped." This man, when you read through verse 3 through about verse 15, was looking at the world all around him. And he's looking at the wicked, and he said, "When I look out and I see the wicked prospering, and I see those who are doing evil, and it seems their life is a life of ease," he said, "I became envious." So here was a man who had become envious of the wicked. And when he saw their prosperity and he saw what they were enjoying, he became envious and he said, "My feet almost stumbled, I almost slipped." Then last Lord's Day evening, or the previous, we talked about the spiritual thinking. That this man in verse 16 and 17 came into the sanctuary of God. And that man decided that he needed to change his thinking. Instead of thinking upon those things that are carnal, instead of thinking upon those things that are not spiritual, he said, "I need to change my thinking to a spiritual way." And how sorely this is needed if we expect to continue on in the service of the Lord. We now go on because as we look at this man, I want us to note in verses 16 and 17 that he goes into the sanctuary of God. Not only did he say he was going there, but he had a purpose. And we ought to be concerned as to what took place or just what happened to this man as he went into the sanctuary of God. The first thing I want us to think about is when you read in the 73rd Psalm, verses 15 through 17, notice some things that happened to us, hit this man, and allow it's fresh upon our minds. Let's look at the negative side first. As we look at this man going into the sanctuary, you might be surprised to learn that he did not go there for the wrong reason. And notice some of the reasons he did not go there. First, he didn't go to the sanctuary of God to get a better feeling. Now, it is true that he might have had a better feeling after he went into the sanctuary of God and worshiped God, but that was not his primary purpose or motive for going to the house of God. So we look at this man and we see the primary purpose was to give God glory. And as a result of giving God glory, this man came out with understanding. And no doubt he came out with a good feeling. Many times as we sit here and we sing these songs of praise to God, and when we think about God's greatness and God's goodness toward us, do we not leave here feeling good that we've been with brothers and sisters in Christ who love the Lord? And do we not go home with a good feeling because we're children of God? But I recognize that that feeling may fade quickly. So that man did not just go to the house of God so that he'd get a good feeling. That man wanted to go for another reason. Notice, secondly, that man did not go just to forget his troubles. It's evident that he did not go in there just to ignore or forget his problems. Now, they went in there with him. His problems were still there. He continued to face the facts of his problems. And the man's heart had been troubled. And being human as he was there, he was still troubled. Sometimes some people think, well, I can just get rid of my problems. But I'll tell you something, my friend, your problems will still be there. But the third thing I want us to identify is that man did not go into the house of God to please others. He didn't go that he just might obtain their favor or their blessing. So I looked at those reasons and I thought, that's not why that man went into the house of God. So I began to look at my Bible and I thought, just why did he go? What motivated that man to go into the house of God, the sanctuary of God? And I think we can name several reasons. First, look at what he says in verse 17. In verse 17, he said, I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. You know, that man went into the house of God to gain understanding. I think that that man, when he went into the house of God, into the sanctuary of God, he went there to learn. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look at the statement that he makes in the 73rd Psalm. I understood therein. Now take that and turn with me to the book of John and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 5th chapter, notice a statement that Jesus makes in verses 28 through 30. In verse 28 he said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There will be a resurrection for the righteous, and there will be a resurrection for the unrighteous. But the righteous will go to be with God, and the unrighteous will be going into condemnation. So this man understood the end of those who were living contrary to God. And this understanding put him on better footing. Well, earlier he was about to stumble. Earlier he was about to slip. Through this understanding, now this man is able to get his foothold. And that was much needed. Without proper understanding, one is standing on dangerous ground. Secondly, he saw the picture as a whole. When this man understood the will of God, and he understood what God's will is, this man received in the sanctuary a better picture of the whole thing. You know, there are a lot of people, they just get a partial view. They just get a presidential view, a prejudiced view. And it's not the whole view. And I want you to think about when this man went to the sanctuary of God, not only did it help him have spiritual thinking, it gave him understanding. Now, when we talk about that, I want us to make some application in the lesson journals. There are several great lessons for us to learn and to keep in store in our lives. And let's apply them to our lives. First, what is the purpose today of going into the house of God? And again, let me say the house of God is not this building. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul told Timothy that the house of God is the church. That's the people. So when we come together as the people of God, there is a reason for that. And I think today there is a crying need to understand why we come together. Just what is the purpose of assembling together? Someone might say, well, preacher, I think the purpose is just to get a better feeling. That's not just the purpose, my friend. That seems to be upon the heart of some. I've had some people say, preacher, I've been to a place and they had such great music and singing and all these sorts of things. He said, it just put a tingle down my spine. You know what that man was looking for? Not truth, but an emotional response. I'll tell you, my friend, what should give us a emotional response is when we obey truth, when we follow truth, when we understand truth. And I'll tell you, my friend, the purpose is not just the emotional part. But I do believe emotion is a part of religion. When I leave here, I always feel better because I worship my God. But secondly, It's not to forget our troubles. I think some say just go to church and forget your problems. That's wrong, because I'll tell you, my friend, your problems will follow you. And some seem to think they can just go in and have their ears tickled and they're comforted and they can just leave. No, my friend. Your problems will only be solved when we face them. We can't ignore our problems. We can't hide from our problems. Our problems will still be there, just like with Asaph. But Asaph said, I need to go to the house of God, not just to try to avoid my problems, but I need to go there to get understanding. He didn't go there to please someone else. He didn't go there to forget his troubles. He didn't go there for a good feeling. He went to the house of God to get understanding. I think about the fact that when we come together and hear the Word of God proclaimed, we should leave here with good understanding. And can I say tonight that the reason a lot of people don't have good understanding is they don't ever pay attention? They don't listen, they don't study, they don't participate, they don't take their Bibles home and read it, and then we wonder why spiritually we're drying up. I'll tell you, my friend, a local church that is not growing is a local church that has put their Bibles down. A local church that isn't growing is a local church that's not concerned about the Word of God. And I'll tell you, we need to come together so we can edify one another, encourage one another, and have understanding from God's Holy Writ. But secondly, we need to get a picture of the whole. When we have proper understanding, we have the view of the whole man and not just the partial or prejudiced view. It's good to come to the house of God and see the whole of man. That's why this man said, I can understand the end. Before, all he said was, I saw their prosperity. I was envious. I heard their boast. I saw their lives. And he said, it seemed like they didn't have any trouble. And here I am trying to live righteous, and I'm struggling, and I'm striving. And he said, then I realized that life isn't always fair here, but I understand that if I continue with God, their end will be different than my end. You ever thought of that? There was a man one time who was overseas. He'd been over in Africa as a missionary. And he'd come back. When Theodore Roosevelt was president, he had gone over on his safari. And when he got back, the boat arrived at the harbor. And here off the ship came Theodore Roosevelt. And there was a ticker tape parade. The former president is home. And everybody was rejoicing and saying, here's Roosevelt. Hey, Mr. President. Then when that man got off the boat, there was no one there to greet him. And he thought to himself, this doesn't seem fair. I've been over there for years. This man's only been over there for months. I was over there to preach the Word of God. This man was over there to hunt. I was over there doing work to glorify God. This man was over there for his own recreational purposes. Why isn't anybody here to greet me? And then it hit him. He's not home yet. He's just back in the States. And sometimes I think we need to get the whole picture and understand the end. The end of the ungodly or the end of the righteous, which would you prefer? And I'll tell you, we need to face all the facts. Another great thing to keep on our heart is that it is time to face all the facts. There were things that Asaph had not taken in, but now that he'd come to the house of God, he had taken in the facts. And we need to take in the facts. We need to see more than he saw. We can look at Christ. We can stand at the cross. We can try to explain it. And we see a righteous man dying for the whole of his creation, dying for us. We can look at his church and look at the one that he died for, the one that is his cause. And the Revelation letter gives us a picture as a whole that we are more than conquerors through Christ, as Paul said in Romans 8. We can look at Job in James chapter 5 and verse 11. When James was writing his epistle, notice what he says in verse 11 about Job. He said, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." I like that. I like that statement. He said, blessed is he because he endured. And then look at what he said. Job's perseverance, God had seen what? The end intended. What is the end intended for the child of God? It's never been a promise of earthly blessing. It's always been a promise of spiritual blessing. But there's one other thing I want to bring to your mind. While the wicked may prosper, it's going to come to an end. And when the righteous may suffer, it's going to come to an end in the resurrection. And so it's good to face all the facts and see the whole picture. And what we need to have is the prayer that we read in Numbers 23. In Numbers 23, you'll remember the statement that is made in verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number one-fourth of Israel? Then he said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my end be like his. I want to ask you a question. Whose end is like yours? Is it part of the righteous or is it part of the wicked? I thought about that statement. When I was making preparation for this lesson, I thought, what joy for the child of God to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy. Oh, look at that word, joy of the Father. And then I thought about the other statement, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Are you known by God? I hope we have an understanding of the blessings we receive as the children of God. Some people ask me, and I was asked earlier today, Mike, why do we suffer? You know what I told them? Because if we didn't suffer, we wouldn't look forward to heaven as much as we should. I think sometimes we get a little too comfortable here. When the fact is, Peter said, you're sojourners and pilgrims. You know, sojourners and pilgrims don't stay anywhere very long. And Paul said, your body is a tent. Tents aren't made to live in very long. I'll tell you, my friend, I saw that up close when Jackson had a Boy Scout camp, and I had to spend the night on one of the hardest rocks in Dixon County. I said, I'm not meant to live in a tent. Some of us, our tents are big, and some of us, our tents are small, and some of us, our tents are collapsing. But the soul will go on. And the question is, where will it end? It depends upon if we've come to the house of God for the answer. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God and you need to be baptized or restored, we pray you.